to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of The Cultureholics, episode number 130, where we visit with Broadway actress and super sweet gal, Natalie Hill.
Yeah, super sweet.
It was something that, as we talked about in the interview, it's been a year or so in the coming, but when I would have talked to her before, I wouldn't have had the help of sweet wife of the party, Larissa, who is not a DJ.
Let it go.
I feel bad because we've already, now as we're taping this intro, we've already done the interview. Uh-huh. Yeah. So I'm pre-apologizing for something that people won't hear for a minute. I'm sorry that I did not introduce you in the episode that we do with Natalie here in just a minute.
But yeah. be warned.
You, Larissa, speak.
Yes.
You can speak, Larissa.
Oh, hi.
Hi. So I am now apologizing for that to you.
Thanks.
As we were talking, kind of posted. Anyway, did it go well? Are you looking forward to having this be shared with everyone?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think anybody who has seen any Broadway show or any musical theater will like to hear what she has to say about what goes on behind the scenes and the thoughts in their personal life and professional life, how it affects you. And anybody who reads her blog will just love to hear from her. She's wonderful.
Yeah, it's Natalie Hill. You can find the blog spot, mormoninmanhattan.blogspot.com. But a great interview. And thank you for all the questions that you helped, as you'll hear in the second and third block that
well,
you helped out with.
I don't ask any. I just prompted a few.
Yeah, no, which is great. Which is great. Let's talk about a couple of other things going on in the cultural hall.
Okay.
First of all, if you ever feel like it, and we hope that you do, go and leave a review on iTunes.
Yeah.
For the show, you can find it. Just search The Cultural Hall and excuse me, leave a review there. We'd love to have that. That helps us to be able to be searchable by more people.
One of our panel members kind of brought this up. What happens is a lot of people go to the website and listen to it. Sometimes they don't realize they can listen to it on their smartphone. On iPhones, there's a podcast app. All you have to do is subscribe to The Cultural Hall. You can listen to it streaming, which is great because you don't have to download it. But if you're worried about your data, then download it beforehand, mm-hmm. and then it's downloaded to your phone. So that's through the podcast app on the iPhone. There's also an app called Stitcher. Now, Stitcher is a streaming, so that will use your data.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a difference. If you use the podcast app, download it at home, load it onto your phone, you have it there. Stitcher is streaming. But the great thing about Stitcher, you can access the other episodes. It has about 5 or 6 episodes mm-hmm. that you can access.
I mean, we're going really basic here because they're podcasting, though we seem like we've been doing this for forever, and we're coming up on 3 years, which blows my yeah. mind to the Cultural Hall. There are still a lot of people that go, what's a podcast? What time is that on? How do I get that? You know?
Yeah.
So just trying to keep it pretty basic. Obviously, if you're listening to this, you probably didn't just happen upon it. But the best way is the best way, I think, and what I've done for my father, who is electronically, how should we say, special?
Yeah.
I got an old iPod and I
just loaded it up.
Subscribed it on iTunes and mm-hmm. I just loaded it up on the iPod. And then when he gets done
with
the episodes that he's listened to, he'll give it back to me. And he'll say, I need more episodes, and then I'll download them, and then I'll give him the iPod.
I do the same thing with my dad, too.
And it's great, and it's not that he has any aversion to listening to it. He just doesn't know how to do it.
Yeah, so, same thing with my dad.
Get yourself one of your kids' iPods. Steal it back from the kid. You got it for Christmas. He forgot where it was, or you took it away because he was being irresponsible.
There you go.
Load it up with the Cultural Hall, and then share it with your friends, or give it back to the kid and say, when you can be like these guys, then you can have your privileges back. I don't know. Maybe that's not a good example. Right. Theculturalhall.com, if you're not there. Follow us on Pinterest. We don't mention that nearly enough. Carly does a great job with our Pinterest page. You can just find us at The Cultural Hall. We're on Google Plus. That's a thing for kids. You can find us there on Google Plus. It's The Cultural Hall. You can find us on Twitter, at The Cultural Hall.
And make sure you mark your calendars for July 14th, which is our Cultural Hall celebration.
With Mindy Gledhill. Have we mentioned that on the show before?
I think we have.
Mindy Gledhill will be a part of that, as well as a huge amount of delicious food and a whole big concert as the Cultural Hall presents Sammy's Home Evening. That will be our big event.
Yep.
down in Provo, Utah.
We'll be doing a live podcast, so you'll be able to see your favorite panelists in person and your not-so-favorite panelists
in person. And where is this podcast happening?
It's going to happen in Provo, right in front of Sammy's Pie Shakes on the 14th of July. Sammy's home evening.
Woo!
So that's coming up on the 14th. Put that on your calendar. Find us on Facebook if you're not there yet already.
Also, if you want to be a part of our live studio audience for articles and news on Mondays,
at noon,
send us a message through our Facebook page.
Yeah, in Murray.
Yeah.
And then if you haven't subscribed to the newsletter yet, you can do so at theculturalhall.com. We haven't sent out a newsletter yet, but we're getting closer.
But we do have daily news.
You can get... Oh, yeah, we haven't even mentioned that. Now you can get the daily news, Mormon news, every day. Our friend in Michigan, Brandt, he does that. You can get that every day, and then he does a weekend recap on Sunday nights, so you can hear or read the three main stories, and then he does what he calls second page news, which is all like the man becomes bishop who used to be insulation installer, whatever. Just kind
of exciting stuff.
Yeah. The what may very well go forth in one of those things that we call fast offerings.
Right.
What else? What else did we miss?
Progress.
Larissa, anything? Do we miss anything?
No.
I was thinking about talking about this. We talked about it in Articles of News about a week ago.
Okay.
About the whole issue when it comes to plastic surgery.
Oh, boo.
Oh, yeah. That was a big deal on our Facebook page.
A lot of our panelists weighed in on that.
Yeah, we talked quite a bit about it in last week's Articles of News for the 25th of April or whatever.
So I think it'd be fun to have a roundtable with all the women who are panelists.
Oh, yeah?
And go on it, in on it. Wouldn't that be interesting?
I think we already did that on our Facebook page. Yeah. We covered all the bases there.
But nobody sees that.
Yeah, no one sees our private... You know what we will do? There are several plastic surgeons that are members of the church here in the state of Utah.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
I think we'll do an episode with the plastic surgeon. We'll talk about that.
We can make it a two-parter. Talk with the plastic surgeon and then talk with that Azevedo lady.
Oh, yeah. Julie Azevedo. Yeah,
we should talk to her.
Julie D'Azevedo Hanks, I think is her last name.
Is she of the De Azevedos?
Yeah, daughter.
All right.
No, she's completely unrelated, being a white Mormon in Utah, last name D'Azevedo.
Right. Just wondering.
All right. So coming up in the second and third block, it's Natalie Hill. Listen, Larissa, I'm sorry I don't introduce you at the beginning.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm introducing you right now. Coming back in the second and third block of the Cultural Hall.
Looking for a change in your workout? Are you looking for real results? Pure Bar is the fastest, most effective, yet safest way to transform your body. In just 55 minutes, you will achieve a full body workout on the areas women struggle with the most: hips, seat, abs, and arms. The Pure Bar technique is low impact, protecting your joints by avoiding any bouncing or jumping. The technique works to defy gravity by tapering everything in and lifting it up. Come check out Pure Bar today in Draper at 123rd South and 200 East, just 3 blocks east of the freeway. Your first class is free and there's no obligation. Mention that you heard this ad on Cultural Hall and take 10% off any class package. Give us a call at 801-523-6215 or visit us online at www.purebar.com. That's PUREBARRE.com and select the Draper, Utah location. Pure Bar. Lift. Tone. Burn.
It's time for the second block of the Cultural Hall, and finally, this is over a year in the making, at least. We have the sweetest, most beautiful, talented, should we say. Am I brown-nosing too much?
Guys.
Am I doing too much? Yeah, she's okay.
Get a grip.
it's our Mormon in Manhattan, Ms. Natalie Hill. Thank you for being here with us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you're in town doing Sweet Charity, and we'll talk all about that, but cool. I want, let's flash way before that, if we can do that. Let's rewind, I guess, not flash
where
before.
Where do you want to go back to?
I want to go back to, on the night that I go back in time, November 5th, 1955.
Okay.
Good for you.
Hey.
Your friend in time. Let's go back to family.
Family.
Growing up. Where did you do said growing up?
I grew up in Orem, Utah. I'm the oldest of 5 girls.
Geez, poor dad.
Everyone says that.
And
lucky dad, because he has 5 girls that are obsessed with him.
No, but so here's the deal, right?
Yeah.
So now, lucky dad.
Yeah, yeah.
But dad worrying about his daughter's going out on dates with creepers.
Well, he's had to worry for a really long time with me, let's be honest.
Dad having to put up with, hey, I'd like some time in front of the mirror. No, Dad, sorry.
We have a lot of bathrooms in the house. I'll just say that.
Dad having to put up with the emotions that is a teenage girl from, everyone hates me too. I hate everyone.
He used to say, like, at the dinner table, there's always somebody crying, somebody laughing, somebody was really annoying, somebody was singing. Like, everyone, he got, like, the gamut of emotions every night at dinner.
So, that's what I say when I say poor dad.
Yeah.
Now he's reaping it, because there's nothing better than a daughter's love as an adult.
Well, and he did a great service for me, because he made me watch, like, football. He made me a real big sports fan, and so I was kind of like the dude. And so now they're like going to be two professional athletes in our family. And so he's thrilled. He gets to watch their games. He's like living all the like daddy son boyhood dreams through his like married in sons. So
let's talk about that. Who are those married in sons?
My little sister Allie is married to Jacob Brugman, who was a baseball player at BYU. And now he's in the minor leagues with the A's organization.
Cool.
Yay. And
we got a lot of athletic fans here.
Yay. The Oakland Athletics. Fans. Yay. Go Cougs. And then my boyfriend was an athlete, and now he's a coach.
And so you're calling it out then, because you said that he's going to have two, right? Is that some sort of announcement? Are we announcing some sort of engagement here?
There's no announcement, but things are in the works.
Let me see that hand. Okay, there's nothing there.
Still. Yeah, yeah. I mean, things are in the works.
So growing up in Orem, pretty conservative, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's Utah County for people who just hear Provo and go, okay, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Family really religious?
Yeah, but you know what? My parents were always like more like doctrine-driven than culturally driven, and completely open-minded and awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very important to them that we were open-minded and that we didn't retain a Utah County accent.
Yeah,
because it's disgusting.
You will learn two things here.
So when you
say kind of open, like what would they do to help you make sure that you were open? As opposed to,
there was a lot of. I don't know if they raised all my sisters this way because they were kind of cool parents and tailored their parenting to everybody. But there was just a lot of freedom with the way that I grew up.
And you said you're oldest, right?
I'm the oldest.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of gave me a long leash and like let me be.
Hang yourself by.
Yeah. Well, basically. And let me make all the decisions because I think they could see that I was kind of like a little rebel spirit. And so if they were to enforce anything on me, it wouldn't fly. Mm-hmm. Like everything had to be my idea. Gospel and otherwise.
So that just kind of let you do it. So then growing up, did you ever have a time where you're like, nah?
You know what? I was married and annulled, and it was really traumatizing for me. And so there was like 3 months where I was kind of questioning my faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what am I doing? Yada, yada, yada. And I found that I was really, really unhappy. So what I did was, I'm kind of a seeker, and I was like, I love yoga. I love everything. So I like literally did a spreadsheet of like all the world religions.
Mm-hmm.
And what do I believe? Like what? In my core, do I believe? Because I really think that people can't be happy unless they truly align themselves and live the way that they believe. So even if it's like vegetarianism and you start eating beef and you're like, really don't feel great about it, you're not going to be happy, right?
Sure.
Same goes for gospel principles. So I was like, I believe in eternal families. Yes, I believe that God hears me when I pray. Yes, I believe that I can receive inspiration. All these things down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And I lined them up and I like did the spreadsheet and I was like, oh no. I'm a Mormon. Yeah. I really believe in this.
Yeah. You look over the whole thing and you're like, okay, I'm looking for another religion.
Yeah, it was the shopping. Judaism's cool.
I'm looking for someone that believes in Joseph Smith being a prophet, and I'm not finding anybody else.
Yeah. So there was all that, and I was like, oh, man, I guess I do have a testimony based on my own stuff and not because it was the tradition of my family. And, you know, when you're 21 in New York, everyone assumes that you're Mormon because you were brainwashed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of an awesome and pivotal time for me to go, no, man, I'm committed. This is it. And so I was like, all right. And I made a pact. I was like, hey, Heavenly Father, I will live like the staunchest Mormon for 6 months. Mm-hmm. If I am not like filled with straight up joy, then I'm probably going to start drinking because that sounds fun.
Yeah. So here's the deal. If you want this to work out.
Yeah, basically. And I remember the moment I was, it's Frankie Spatino in Brooklyn with just two of my friends. They were married in a garden outside and it was like, nothing special, nothing was happening, but I was just sitting with friends having dinner on a pretty night in New York, and I was filled with all this joy. And I was like,
Now I can't drink.
No, I can't. Dang it, that would have been fun. I'd like to have tried that. No. So, you know, thankfully that kind of conversion happened for me without too much trauma. You know, of course, there was a lot of like, 21-year-old angst, but, you know.
So you brought it up, so I feel like we can maybe talk about it a little bit.
Oh, gosh, here we go. I'm an open book.
marriage. You've been married and had it annulled.
Yes.
So how did you guys meet? Let's talk about that whole experience.
I don't really think it's really, it's because it's his story as well. I don't think I can get really too far into it, other than to say that I married a really great man.
Super young, though? Is that
super young. I was 21.
Okay.
And he's like remarkable, still remarkable, married and has children. He's fantastic. Mm-hmm. We are not a match. We were not a match. And he was such a great guy that I was like, oh, I can do this. Let's just go. Cause this is what you do when you're, you know, when you're Mormon, you're young.
Mormon at 21.
You know,
Utah
it's funny
County.
Though, I never wanted to get married young. I always thought I'd be married around 27, 28. But when I met him, he was just such a cool guy that I was like, let's just do this. But I don't think either one of us really took the time, and we were dating long distance. So it was probably a premature decision. And at 21, I don't think I understood what answers to prayers felt like. Mm-hmm. Right. So I hadn't had enough like trial and error with that to understand how I directly receive inspiration for things. And so I think I probably was getting a, hey, hold on, maybe this isn't for you prompting, if you will. But I was too naive in my faith to understand what that felt like. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. I'm going to chime in here.
In.
This is DJ Rob. How long was
a DJ, by the way.
Hey,
did you know that?
Spin it. No, now I do. Thank goodness.
How long was the courting process? How long did you guys date for?
9 months meeting to marriage. And most of it was I was in New York and he was in Utah. So.
Okay.
Yeah. It would have been, you know, it's fun. I can't say that like everyone needs to wait forever. Like, I met my boyfriend now, and I knew on the second date I was going to marry him. Mm-hmm. And we haven't been dating that long, but it's like,
and he's listening to this going, what?
He's like, seriously? No, he knows.
Please, he has to know.
We're obsessed with each other.
But it definitely is one of those things that culturally, though, so now you at 21 become the very stigmatized, divorced Mormon.
Oh, yeah, gross. Oh, you know, I was the cover of Utah Bride. There was a billboard on I-15 for like a year after we were separated.
Which was awesome, I bet.
Thankfully, I wasn't here. My mom had to look at it.
So you were the poster child for marriage in Utah.
Yikes. Yikes.
And it didn't last very long.
It didn't last
long. Was that hard, though?
Yeah. Oh, it was traumatic. Completely traumatic. Because it's like, it's not only is it like, I'd never failed at anything before.
And it just felt like you had failed at it.
Yeah, I was a failure. And I disappointed my family. I disappointed everyone. My parents paid way too much for that wedding. And then it was like, on top of it was like a crisis of faith, you know, because at that time I was like, you should have stopped it, you know, and I don't know. And then you blame everybody for not stopping it. And then my dad's like, well, you would have gone ahead with it. And then you'd have ruined relationships if people had tried to get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really painful thing to be annulled or divorced as a Mormon thing. Just, you know, culture aside, it's a painful thing to go through. It's just a hard thing in your life. And, you know, I'm actually really thrilled that I don't know if I should say thrilled, but I'm glad I went through it because now I know, like, what it feels like. And since I know what wrong feels like, I know what right feels like.
Right. Well, and you're definitely a lot stronger because you go, made it through that.
Yeah, you totally live. You live. And because your faith is tested, you either grow or you fall away. And for me, it was a good experience.
So I don't know that we did a great job in introducing you. You're an actress.
Oh, yeah.
And you've been living in New York now for, we don't need to give them out of
15
years.
15 years.
Okay, we will give them out of 15 years.
Oh, yeah, I'm 32. I'm not afraid of it.
Some ladies, especially ladies.
I don't even know how old the other ladies are in my show.
Yeah.
You don't talk about that ever. No. But I'm like, why? Who cares? I'm 32. I've never had Botox.
No, I totally have Botox.
I kind of need to. I should consider it. No.
Stop it. So you went to school in Orem. Theater was your thing in high school?
Yeah, my dad founded Pro Theater Company. And so I got my feet wet there. I did a few shows when I was young. And then I went into like...
Were you forced into it? Like, hey, Dad has to be here. So you need to spend time with Dad. So you'll be in this show.
I was obsessed with it. My dad played FDR when I was 2 and a half in Annie.
Mm-hmm.
And I went every night and I could... There's these great videos of me at 18 months, with like a full red wig, just screaming all the hits from Annie. I knew I was born to do it. I loved it. And I begged to audition for The Sound of Music. And so I played Gretel, was my first thing. And then I became too cool.
Is she the one that's constipated and falls asleep? Is that Gretel?
She is. She's very confident. She had a big meal.
You know what I'm talking about?
Spetzel's hard on the system.
Do you know what I'm talking about in the movie where it's like, man,
she hurt her finger. That's Gretel. But then I was like way too cool for theater because like I was like theater people are weird and they're obnoxious.
It's a collecting pool for
misfits.
Yeah.
Straight up. But then I'd heard that they were doing Les Mis in concert when I was 16, and Syd Riggs was directing it, and I'd never met her, done anything for her, and she cast me as a 16-year-old as Eponine in Les Mis. They had only had like 5 companies in the country that got rights to do the concert version. Mm-hmm. And it was like just a spectacular experience for me working with her. And then she's like, hey, do you want to fly and do Peter Pan at the high school next year? And I was like, oh, all right. So I really didn't do, because I was working professionally and doing TV and film and recording and stuff, I didn't really do theater until Syd forced me into it. And then mm-hmm. we had, you know, just a brilliant mentorship. And I did, I think, like 6 shows for her in my senior year of high school. I graduated early because I went to Yale for a hot second. And so I had all that time to really work with her. And then I went to NYU, and she was still like my greatest influence theatrically until she passed away.
It's a pretty big difference from TV and film to theater. And some people don't like the theater side, and some people, that's why they stay with the theater side. What was it for you? Why do the theater?
You know what? Now I want to get back to TV and film because I'm an old lady and my body's broken. And there's just better money in TV and film.
Right, which is why a lot of people do it. But you speak to a lot of TV film actors. I know recently, here we go. I was talking to
drop a name, I'll hold the basket.
Anthony Mackie from he plays Falcon in the latest Captain America. And he, you know, he's phenomenal in this film, but he's like, no, give me the stage anytime.
Really?
But he's like, you know what? I can't make money doing the stage.
You know, it's like apples and oranges. Like, theater is great because every day it's a new experience. Like, the camaraderie between in a cast is amazing, and challenging your body is awesome like that. But musical theater is a lot harder than straight theater. Just, it's like, you're always like, I'm seriously tired of myself. Like, you're always worried about like, how's my voice today? How's my body? Did I warm up enough? Did I, you know, there's so many more factors in musical theater, and just the skill level required is so much greater that it's just, it's really exhausting. And to live like that 8 shows a week is a very isolated life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of things people don't understand. Like, literally my feet are swollen up a half size at the end of the week because of the pounding of dancing in heels. And your hairline falls apart because you're wearing wigs and it's breaking your hair. And your eyelashes fall out because of the false lashes. It's just like so not glamorous at all.
And that's why I'm wearing these yoga pants and this comfy jacket right now, because
I'm in a rain
do not
slicker. Because I have to go to bar class so I can be warm for opening night tonight. It's just like crazy.
Do you have a question you want to ask her, Larissa?
Oh, no? Go on the spot.
On the spot? You had like a million questions. Here, I'll read one of your questions.
Oh, no, he asked me to put together some questions because I've read your blog for a little while. Interestingly enough, I got pointed to your blog maybe a couple years ago. I'd already seen you.
Oh, really?
In Bye Bye Birdie.
On Broadway?
Uh-huh.
Was I playing Rosie or was I in the
ensemble? You were in the ensemble.
Oh, wah.
Well, and I remember specifically thinking, boy, these adults are really young.
Yeah, you're like, there's like the MILFy couple. this guy that looks just like John Stamos, and then this girl that's Latin. Go figure.
Yeah. Well, I always love to play the game, pick the understudy.
Yeah. Well, we were pretty totally obvious. Tell. Everyone else was 50.
Yeah. And then I saw Wonderland.
Oh, you're kidding. Nope. That big stinker.
Jersey Boys.
Oh, in Vegas?
Yes. And
shut
that's about the
door.
Time I got pointed to your blog was Jersey Boys.
Oh, my gosh. That's really cool.
So you have a fan here,
fan. No, I don't have a super fan.
No, she is an educated
theater professional.
Look at this.
There you go.
It's two pages.
Well, so he had me put together questions for you.
No,
and I was
down.
Like, I'm terrible at interviews. I don't know.
I'm happy about it.
There he goes over there.
I just wanted to give you guys your time to do what you just did. And I'll never allow that to just happen
never
ever
again.
You're awesome.
Go ahead.
Well, you talked about bar. We just picked up a sponsor for the bar.
Yeah, Pure Bar Draper.
Oh.
They're a sponsor of
Have
the Cultural Hall
one?
Here.
I've taken Pure Bar in New York and in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's a franchise all over, and they just recently opened it up. Great. Thank you for the plug. We'll go into the break here. But you can go and get a free class from Pure Bar and get 10% off your classes if you mention that you heard about it on the Cultural Hall. In the third block coming up, I want to talk about swearing.
Oh, gosh.
I want to talk about where you're at now and getting ready to be married and everything.
And John Stamos. Yeah, and John Stamos. Who doesn't want to talk about John Stamos?
That's coming back in the third block of the Cultural Hall.
We invite you to claim your courage by shedding shameful thoughts, actions, and feelings that disrupt your ability to live authentically or feel connected to others by letting go of fear, blame, and your idea of perfection. The Healing Group, where women go for hope, growth, and healing. We're the home of the Sex Girls. Are you a mother feeling lost in a relationship and feeling stuck? Are you feeling overwhelmed by life? Schedule an appointment now. Can't make it to our office? No problem. Meet with a therapist individually or with a group in our virtual clinic right from the comfort of your own home. Visit thehealinggroup.com for more information.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
All right, it's the third block of the Cultural Hall now, and man, you should hear these ladies gab while we're off. Yeah, high and tight. That's the only thing I caught.
High and tight.
So, swearing. Let's go there. Let's just go there. Let's dive into it. A lot of people would, and I am one that does this, so I will swear, but I will make sure, well, first of all, let me say, I don't swear a lot, and I don't say the celestial swear words.
Yeah, no, never.
But the ones you find in the scriptures, I've been known to say those a few times.
Yeah.
But I will never say them on screen, and I'll never say them in a way that someone could have them recorded.
Oh, that's a good idea.
No, that's a double standard is what it is.
It's called hypocrisy.
Yeah, it's called hypocrisy. That's the line that I've drawn. I'm trying to not swear so much. But people would, I think, you know, if they go and they see in the show, I think that a Mormon person would go, wait a minute.
She just said the F word. She's in Jersey Boys.
Exactly.
Yeah. I come from like rodeo people. Like my granddaddy was a cowboy. My dad's from Spanish Fark.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, there are a few like mild swear words that I think are totally fun for effect. Like,
right.
It makes sometimes a well-priced swear word makes a story even better. However, I draw the line at the F word. Uh-huh. So when I got cast in Jersey Boys, Mary's the first one to drop the F bomb. And I thought about it. And there have been other roles that I have not taken on Broadway because of the content.
Really?
Whether it be nudity or certain things I was uncomfortable with or the way that a swear word was used.
Mm-hmm. So let's back it up.
Yeah.
I know where you're going. But did you set it out when you moved to New York saying, here is what I won't do?
I did. I kind of had like boundaries. I was like, I'm not going to say the F word and I'm not going to show my boobs. But... or any other body part, really.
No. But I just love this. Mom, I'm off to New York where I'm not going to say the F word or show my boobs. I'll see you later.
Well, the ironic thing is when I was doing Wonderland, there was like a 9-foot giant poster of me. And it's just basically my cleavage. Uh-huh. And there's this great picture of me and my dad standing under my cleavage. I'm like, thanks, Dad. Weird. I did kind of have to draw the line in certain things. But... the more I thought about Jersey Boys, and when I met Frankie Valli.
Uh-huh.
Actually, it's a great story.
Please.
But you want to hear that story?
Yes.
Okay. So I had been in for the original company. It was between Jen Nemo and me for Mary, for his who plays Frankie's first wife, who's supposed to be considerably older than Frankie. I was like 23. I was a babe. And... the first Frankie out of town in La Jolla was an older guy, and he heard his voice, and so John Lloyd Young came in, who was younger. So and for that original cast, they had an older Frankie, and they needed an older Mary, and they cast Jen, who was brilliant. She was a fantastic Mary. I loved her in the show. So they were always like, you'll go on the next tour, you'll go da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, things happened, and I had Broadway shows, and all this time goes by. And I think I had gone in for the touring company, and I was... they give you tickets sometimes, not all the time, to come see the show before your final callback, just mm-hmm. so that you know what world you're in. And I'm backstage, and I see this guy, and I'm like, are you Frankie? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, I have a question for you. And my dad, tells this great story, and I wanted to know if it was true. I said, you know, Frankie, my dad always said that he went to the Hollywood Bowl to see the Fifth Dimension, and they weren't there yet. I guess their flight had been delayed in Denver or whatever. And so they had called the Four Seasons, who were doing like a reunion tour and were practicing down the block. And all of a sudden they say, you know, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, and you guys come out and you did like five songs. That's all you'd been practicing.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd went wild and they went freaking out. And Marilyn McCoo comes on and they're like, you know, this is the dawning. And then all of a sudden the crowd starts like chanting, Frankie, 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 because they wanted him back. And she throws the mic and walks off the stage, and Frankie Valli comes back and does the same five songs he'd already done for this obnoxious crowd. I said, is that true? Because my dad loves a good story, and I think he's lying. And he's like, no, that's absolutely true. And he's going on and on, and we're having this funny conversation. And he's like, what part of Jersey are you from? And I'm like, Jersey, Utah. Like, not from Jersey. And he's like, you're lying. And I'm like, no. He's like, where are your family from in Italy? And I'm like, they're from Wales. I am Mormon from Utah. And he could not believe it. Like, just shocked. He's like, you got to come to my concert in Coney Island and da 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 da. So I got to go the next day with Bob Gaudio, Frankie Valli, the original Four Seasons, right? Yeah. The two guys, Rick and Marshall, who wrote Jersey Boys. Everybody was hanging out back in this, like, compound. We're all hanging out. And then he sits me on the front row. And the man's got to be like, I don't know, early 70s, right? And he's pointing at me going, you're just too good to be true.
Oh, yeah.
Just laying it on thick, you guys. I'm a hit with octogenarians.
Oh, like, yeah,
they
sure.
live for me.
Yeah.
So I went back at the end of the concert to thank him for the tickets. And he's got his, like, twin sons there. And he gave me a very long, lingering frontal hug with, like, a lick.
Are you kidding me?
To my ear. And I was like, wow. Thank you. But what I learned about hanging around with those guys is without the F word, it just puts a class and a place on these people mm-hmm. that nothing else does. Like a woman in the 50s to drop the F bomb, it tells you so much about this person.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so true. And he kept saying, you're just like Mary. You're just like my first wife. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but thank you, because that's the role I'm going in for.
Right.
And he kept saying, you got balls. And I'm like, why do I have balls? And he's like, you just come up to me. And I'm like, who cares? You're Frankie Valli. I'm Natalie Hill. Who cares? He's like, I can't believe you're not, like, intimidated. And I was like, why would I be intimidated? I just threw it down.
Yeah.
So to answer that question, for Jersey Boys specifically, it wasn't true to those people. Mm-hmm. This is a real woman who lived, who had a very filthy mouth. And the times she chose to say it were really funny. And the first time was funny. The second time was she was in the heat of catching her husband in an affair mm-hmm. and her marriage ending. So I kind of felt like it was important to be true to that. The downside is you start thinking the F word all the time.
Yeah.
And
you know what would be appropriate in this instance right now was me saying the F word. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I would be like, oh, I really wish I could have done that. I wish I could have said. But I try and tame it. I don't think it's becoming for a woman to swear mm-hmm. in any sense. And so I try to keep a lid on it. But, you know, sometimes a well-priced swear word is
it's
awesome.
We always knew growing up that if Dad swore, we needed to do whatever Dad...
He was serious. Yeah,
that whatever he was asking us to do, we needed to get right on.
It was a level past, like, Natalie Catherine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the true test is, have you sworn in front of the boyfriend yet?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay.
Well, I mean, let's
was
be
he
honest,
impressed?
He's in the NBA, so, like, he's not shocked by anything.
Tell people what your boyfriend's name is.
Oh, here, this is really, I'm totally out at us.
Yeah.
His name's Alex Jensen.
Okay.
Yep, and he was a big Ute star, which I had no idea, guys, I had no idea who he was when we met.
How did you meet him? None. How did you meet him?
This is weird. So one of the guys who was the
I'll
man...
I'll tell you if it's weird or not. You tell me the story.
Okay, I'll tell you, and then you can judge it. So this great guy, Ryan Lambert, shout out Ryan Lambert, was the manager on the national championship team that Alex played on for Utah when they played Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And then 5 years ago, my sister's on a plane from San Francisco to Utah, sitting next to Lambert, and she thought he was a fun guy, and she's like, listen, I have this sister, which makes me sound like such a charity case.
Right.
And it's really not like Nicole to, like... pimp me out, because it's not like I'm like need a date. I'm
right.
plenty
Beautiful woman, plenty talented. There's lots of guys who would want to go with you. Like, I've got a list. Hang on. No. Here it is.
No, but you know, in New York, like, there's always somebody to go out with.
Sure.
But
there's 7 million people or whatever. Oh, there's always someone to go out with.
Well, it just was weird because I was like, you make me sound like such a hag when you're like trying to pit me out like that. She's like, I have this sister, and if you know anybody cool, then you should, you know, whatever. And so he sets me up with one guy. It was no bueno. And then 5 years later, he sends me an email on Facebook, and he's like, listen, do you know who Alex Jensen is? I'm like, no. What do I care?
Is that Frankie Valli's relative?
Man, yeah, I don't care.
What it's Frankie Valli.
I got both. So he goes, listen, he's coming back to Utah to coach for the Jazz. And I think that, you know, you guys would understand, like, being Mormon and mostly living outside of Utah, maybe you have something in common. And I was like, whatever. Alex was like, oh, you seem impressed. We were both just kind of like, oh, I was at a time in my life where I was like done with dating. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to be set up anymore. But because Ryan was so nice to think of me, I was like, well, maybe I'll go out with this one last time, and then I don't have to go out on any more setups because I'm done with it.
Yeah, I've done the setup thing like I said I would do. Now I'm done.
Yeah, did my duty. So we went out after a game, and it was ironic because they were playing the Celtics, and I have a friend on the Celtics. And it was just like this awkward triangle of whatever, and Alex called me Melissa when he introduced me to somebody for the first time. And I was like, you don't even know my name.
So he can't live that down.
Never. Yeah. Never.
Okay.
And the best part is we were at Chick-fil-A the other day and they're like, Melissa. He always gives Melissa for my order.
That's hilarious.
So, yeah. It was just a bad first date. But I was like, I can't figure this dude out. I kind of like him, but I don't know why. I don't think he knows how to pursue a woman, and I think he likes being alone, which were two very fair assessments of him at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then a week later, they were playing the Knicks, and I had some girlfriends that were like, you've been, and I do not call boys first ever. I don't text, nothing.
Sure.
But, so was he in town? Is that what you mean?
Yeah,
he came into New York to
play the Knicks, and my girlfriends were like, you've been kind of caustic about dating lately. Maybe you gave him the wrong idea, which I'm sure I did. I was kind of a jerk. So she's like, just reach out to him and see, like, maybe you guys should get together again. And I just sent him a text that was like, hey, am I going to see you in New York, which is very unlike me. And he was like, I'd love to. I kind of didn't feel like I'd passed the first round. And I said, no. So we went out, and on that date, it was like just totally, like, I think both of us had dropped our guards. Like, he had no idea, like, what I did. I had no idea who he, like, I didn't, we totally just fell in love with each other on that date.
Cool.
Yeah, we both were like, oh, I'm going to marry you. Not like I should marry. It was like, oh, I'm marrying you.
Oh,
this
that's
was
cool.
easy.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of one of those stories that, like, you can't expect, but I wouldn't have believed that this was possible if it hadn't happened to me.
How long ago was that?
That date was March 6th.
Of this year?
Of this year.
Of 2014?
Yeah. And today's, what, May 9th?
Yeah.
So it's been 2 months.
Yeah, so the Jazz lost by like 40 points that night, unfortunately.
I know, it was bad. I was there. It was bad. Yeah, but they're going to be great this year.
Is he all right? Have you talked to him today? He might be on suicide watch.
I mean, there were a lot more losses after that. Let's be honest. We're excited for the Jazz to rebuild and hope he'll be a part of it.
Yeah, it's an optimistic future that we're looking forward to some great new recruits
Great new recruits this year, new coaches. So, we just really hope that we get to be a part of that.
But did he like the fact that you didn't know who he was?
That, I think, was the first
And did you like the
liked.
Fact that he didn't know who you were?
Yeah. Well, I don't think I'm a big deal, but I loved that. In fact, he did too, because I think I didn't realize how famous he was until I'm like at this groundbreaking thing. And like, he got like 6 shout outs from like Huntsman and Eccles. And I was like, oh. Well, you really are a big deal. Like, what do I know?
Hey, how about
I'm
that?
I'm a cougar, true and true, but I never went to BYU. So, I don't know. He liked that. And I like that he hadn't, like, I've gone out a lot with people who act like they don't know who I am. And then halfway through the date, like, they start revealing weird details about me. And I'm like, oh, you have read my blog and taken notes. That is creepy.
Yeah.
It's just uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice. In fact, I've asked him not to read the blog. So I was like, I just want to reveal myself to you. But then he'd get so curious, like, what did you say about certain guys? And so it's not good for him to read the blog. I don't like him reading the blog at all. I said, it's not for you anyway. It's for women. Like, I write it for chicks.
Let's talk about the blog real quick. Yeah. Why did you decide to do it?
You know, I had been my sister Nicole had a famous blog called A Little Sussy. And I had been doing, like, beauty posts for her because I have opinions about stuff. But I had these really crazy series of dates, like a guy stalked me in a hot air balloon.
Yes.
Like, weird stuff. And I was like, the world needs to know this. And really, truly, I wanted to write it to create a sitcom. So I just wanted to have a collection of my stories so that I could go into a writer's meeting and say, these are the stories I think would be great, and mm-hmm. let's create a sitcom. And for a while, that was kind of the goal of the blog. And now it's kind of changed focus a bit. But I just really wanted to have a collection of my writing. And I didn't intend, it kind of is more for my friends and my family. And I really didn't intend for it to kind of take off. I know a lot of people go into blogging, like, hoping to make money out of it. And I've never, I mean, I'm right now, I'm not even really sponsored because I just don't care to write with people having, I don't want to be beholden to anybody.
Sure.
I just want to write when I feel like writing. And mm-hmm. if people are still interested in my strange life, then cool. If not, whatever. The flip side to blogging is you put yourself out there. You can be really vulnerable about it. And then you get like bizarro haters that are like obsessed with you, can't stop reading, can't stop doing Instagram. Well, but then they go on these like hate forums and then bash you forever.
Really?
And my whole thing is like, you know, it used to really upset me, but now I'm like, you know what? I would never be friends with you because none of my friends spend time thinking about people they dislike and then writing mean things about them. Like, who does that?
Like what? Give me one example of like something.
Oh, I don't know. I got some nasty things yesterday that were so dumb. And it reveals more about people than it does about me. And I don't think I'm anything special. I'm just writing about my life. And if you choose to tune in, it says more about you than about me, I guess.
Right.
But it's just, it's a weird thing. Like, I think that women have a hard time being happy for other women, or I don't know. I love women to be successful and I love for my friends to succeed. So I don't understand that mentality, but there's just a lot of really miserable people who just like spewing stuff at people. And it makes more than anything, it makes me sad for them. Because I'm like, your life must be really a bummer.
Well, and the internet makes it possible for people mm-hmm. to be jerks anonymously.
Oh, anonymous. So. And you know, and it goes both ways. I've had some, like, I probably had more, you only remember like the really nasty comments, but I've had more really enriching experiences and relationships in my life because of the blog than negative. But it's just the negative ones that make me want to be like, ugh, why bother? I don't even want to do this anymore.
You can find it at MormonInManhattan.blogspot.com.
Yeah.
Not the MormonInManhattan.com, though I assume you own that.
Oh, I did. Oh, I do. No, I do own. I'm trying to flip it over. So if you guys know any good web people.
I do.
Shoot them over because I need will. To turn it into a .com. I own it. Yeah.
Lennon Design, another fine really? Sponsor of the Cultural
Lennon
Hall.
Lennon Design,
yeah.
Call me. Let's collab.
He would do that for
really?
Sure. Yeah, he's great.
I need it. I own it all. And I, yeah, I just got to figure out. Here's the other cute thing about me. I'm still on AOL. Yeah. I do not even know how to do anything technical. My sister's like, all of my sisters are genius, like graphic designers and photographers. Mm-hmm. And I don't speak computer. It stresses me out. And I just want to like write and have someone else like make it look pretty. Because mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm doing.
Cool.
Okay. So speaking of the blog.
Yeah.
You used to be Mormon in Manhattan, No Sex in the City.
Yeah.
I have noticed a recent disappearance of
the tagline.
Of the tagline.
Whoa, are you going after her here?
No, oh, no.
No, here's the, no, it's like not because I'm having
it's
sex.
It's changing the focus of the blog, right?
It's changing the focus of the blog. Yep. Basically, I found that a lot of Mormon households couldn't pull it up because it said the word sex because they have filters on it.
Yeah.
And so people would be like, I have to like turn off my blockers to be able to go look at your blog. So I was like, well, that's no bueno. Mm-hmm. So it was that. And then it was, I am working on a possible TV situation. Yeah.
Cool.
Which would not be, it wouldn't be episodic. It wouldn't be like a sitcom, but it would be something else that you'll hear about in the very near future,
yeah.
hopefully. And so we're kind of trying to like morph it into some, what do I know what I'm doing? I don't know.
When that announcement can be made, will you get back in touch with us?
Yeah.
You'll promise?
I'll need you because, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll love it.
So what's going to happen to the second love in your life, New York City, if things continue to progress?
With this cute boy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had that conversation early on because I had to renew my apartment. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, well, I have to choose.
I know we've only been dating 2 months, but I need to know about my lease.
Yeah. You know, and I think that conversation actually happened in like week 3.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, what do I do? This is pretty funny. When he was in Turkey, the only American show that would air back-to-back commercial-free was Sex and the City.
Mm-hmm.
So he's very well-versed in Sex and the City, and he was like, Carrie keeps her apartment. And so we're keeping the apartment for now, and we'll see what happens. I I think I'll spend a lot more time in Utah. But at this point, we're keeping the apartment. Because I think, honestly, like, I could probably leave the business. But leaving my friends in New York is going to be the hardest thing for me. And that will really... So we're trying to ease that transition.
Like, a couple other questions for you, because I know we need to get you out of here.
Yeah.
Saturday's Warrior.
Oh.
Right? You had a little to do with that with the 25th anniversary.
You know, I've never seen it.
Yeah?
I've never listened to it. I don't know anything about it. Other than I remember my dad saying they teach false doctrine. And so really, truly, I have no idea. Like, I don't think I've ever heard it.
Mm-hmm.
I was just asked to go into the booth and record Julie. And so I did, because I was like all about the money, because I'm clearly a whore for money.
Yeah.
So I'm the wrong person to ask about Saturday's War. I've still never seen it.
No, but see, here's the deal.
What?
So we're going to, Cultural Hall is going to put together a 50th anniversary that's coming up here in the next few years.
Is it really?
It
has
will
it been
be.
25 years since it, I recorded that?
No. But since the original broadcast of it, it's probably 40, 41 years now.
Kidding me?
So we're staking claim as it makes its way to the 50th.
Okay.
Well, we're calling dibs on you to be a part in it, okay?
Okay.
That's it.
Dear John, dear John.
We ask everyone that steps into the Cultural Hall a few questions. First of all, do you have a calling right now? And if so, what is it?
Yes, I'm a gospel doctrine teacher in the Manhattan First Ward, which is super intimidating because everyone there is like a rock star and like temple presidents. When I went in and he called me into that, I was like, do you mean Relief Society? Because that's my jam. And he was like, no, I mean gospel doctrine. And I said, well, I didn't go to mission. I didn't go to BYU. And I never gone to Institute. Uh-huh. But it's been awesome. I love it. It's the best calling ever.
And Old Testament this year, which is hard.
We're making the OT sexy.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. We totally are. In the Manhattan First Ward.
If you could pick a calling for yourself, either one that exists or one that you had to make up, what would you pick for yourself?
That's a good question. I love Relief Society teaching because that's just like, I love the chicks, the women in the church are just so freaking rad.
How do you fall on the women in the priesthood thing?
Ugh, no, I don't want it. It's a back burner issue for me, to be honest with you. I feel like our roles as women and men are clearly defined, and I feel like they are equal in importance. I mean, I have a really hard time understanding why that's a huge issue. I feel like we are just as respected and just as responsible for things. Do I think that the face of the Mormon woman needs to change? Yeah. Yeah. I think we have a lot to do in that area and addressing single women's needs, especially older single women's needs. I think there's a lot to be done in that area. But as far as women in the priesthood goes, you know, it's not an issue for me at all.
What is your favorite part of your faith?
I love inspiration. I love, you know, it took a while for me to figure out exactly how God speaks to me. And once I did, it was like so clear and so black and white that I'm grateful that I had like these really terrible 5 years to kind of figure that out. And I think that it's like my special skill. It's like I'm a superhero because I know exactly how he tells me things. And I think that everybody kind of has to come to that in their own way, in their own time.
Cool. Well, we hope that this has nourished and strengthened your what, Rob? What?
What?
Where can we find her and where can we see her?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We should pimp that.
Yeah.
Until from tonight until May 24th, I'm playing Helene. I'm playing a hooker.
Good one. Hey, but you don't swear, hey, right?
I don't swear.
It's a Mormon hooker.
It's a Mormon hooker. I mean, there's no cleavage. Well, yes, there is.
Yeah.
No.
That's all right. Alpine. It's full of cleavage. Don't worry about
Alpine
it.
Alpine is full of cleavage. So is Draper. No. It's actually really clean, and it's a really good 60s innuendo, sweet show, sweet charity at Pioneer Theater Company. And it's really cute. I really like it. I think it's a fun show.
And then it's back to New York?
I don't know.
We'll see.
I mean...
You don't have a show in the works after this?
I have possibility
auditions.
Things.
Okay.
I have a few things, but... I kind of would rather hang out here with this cute boy.
Yeah.
I mean...
Boy crazy.
I am totally boy crazy. That's the bottom line.
And then the blog.
And then the blog, which is MormonInManhattan.blogspot.com.
Yeah.
We'll get you hooked up. We'll go partners on something and we'll get the website done. You want to do that?
Yeah. Let's like make me better.
Yeah. We'll make you some money on it.
Hey. That's a good idea.
And I'll take my cut and then that's it.
I like like it.
This right? And like your
this
agent.
This is a beautiful partnership.
I'm not joking.
I'm not joking at all. Neither am I.
And
so it's cool.
You've said it, and now it's official, right?
It's
essentially
there.
A contract
it's
that's been happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we hope that this has nourished and strengthened your body.
Yeah.
We hope that you will be able to travel home safely when the time comes.
Bless the sugar out of all of this crap.
And in the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
That's funny.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row. We really gotta go on the Cultural Hall show.